You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I'm able to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
And you're on the air.
Let me ask you a question. How long before we're on the air?
We're actually into it by about 4 seconds.
I'm so happy. So we've got Alan Love, special retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, who this morning was just jumping up and down. Can you imagine seeing Alan jump up and down?
I doubt that.
You know why? His favorite baseball team in the whole world won yesterday.
Oh, wow. Milwaukee Brewers.
Very
all
nice.
Right.
And it puts them into the playoffs.
The Central Division of the National League.
So he took up almost a whole hour talking about how happy he was about that. That was
really?
Very.
No. Whoa! Here is our favorite.
Oh my goodness!
Hey. Attorney of all attorneys.
Yeah, it's lucky thing Greg wasn't there this morning. I think Alan.
Oh, Greg, you would have loved it this morning.
Yeah, you would have loved it. You would have fell off.
It's all right. We can move stuff around if we need to. Anyway, back in 2004, Greg Fasula, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, and Joe Martech, financial advisor, said, let's do radio shows. Now, it isn't exactly how it happened. The way it really happened was Joe Martech said, let's do a radio show. So I got a hold of Dan, and Dan said, okay, went to Greg, and Greg said, why?
Oh. I'm still wondering.
You're still wondering. And I said, well, Greg, you know things that I don't know, that Dan doesn't know. And all the way around this circle, there's three different people here with different areas of expertise, and there's tons of people out there that we can help. And Greg says, really? Now, you know attorneys, they don't want to give categorical statements. He says, Joe, are you sure you can help anybody?
No. No, I said, sounds like a pretty good idea, and we tried it, and after all these years, we're still going.
Most attorneys will sit back and think about it for a while, because they are on the clock.
Well, that's
oh!
Is that why you have me sign that piece of paper promissory note?
Yeah, we learned that in law school.
We'll learn that in law school.
The more they contemplate, the higher the bill.
So contemplate as long as possible.
That's it.
Well, you know, but that's
I'm in the wrong profession.
Well, you know, I saw this form today. I went to see a client this morning, and I'm just interjecting because I had to pick on Greg because he's part of this fraternity called attorneys. mm-hmm. that also get paid either by the hour or by the minute or by the word. So this particular client, his wife died, and there's a rollover of her 401k. It's going to go to him as the beneficiary. So they send him a form that is 25 pages of fine print.
Mm.
And I said, you did memorize this form, right, Ralph?
Yeah, Joe.
Well, I found the two parts that were important. The last page where he signs it,
mm-hmm.
and the 23rd page that says, pick this.
Oh, pick this. They
probably could have put it on one page, you know, summarized it in one page.
Well, you know, and that's where Greg Fasula, and let me, I got to just honk your horn a bit. Way back when I meet new prospects or suspects, I would talk about a will or trust, and if they didn't have such a thing, I said, well, you really should do this, and we would talk about it. And I'd say, I'll even go with you. And wherever they lived, I would go and interview an attorney that was nearby, or two or three, and I'd find a nice guy, and I'd say, okay, fine, I'm going to bring you in a client next week on a certain date. He'd say, okay, and I'd show up with the client, and all of a sudden, this nice guy became arrogant. Can you imagine an attorney being arrogant, Greg?
No.
That's what I didn't think.
No.
Pretentious.
No.
And all of a sudden, I'm feeling bad, but I can't say anything because I brought these people in. Then we'd get down to the bottom line, what was going to happen and how much it was going to cost. And it's against the rules to throw up in an attorney's office. So I never did, but boy, I came close, I'm telling you.
So it's against the rules.
So then,
it's against the rule in my office.
Well, yeah, well, that's why I never threw up in your office.
No throwing up.
So I go to Greg. I don't know how we met, but 20 some years ago, probably the same scenario. And then Greg Fasula, he was a nice guy, but they're all nice guys.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good listener, but they're all good listeners when we start off. So then I brought a client in, and he wasn't pretentious. He wasn't arrogant. And he listened to the client. I mean, for sometimes 10 and 15 whole minutes. You can say a lot of words in 10 or 15 minutes, and he would just sit there and nod. Never interject or slow them down or speed them up or anything.
That's the second rule in law school you learn.
Which is what?
Listen and keep listening.
He never learned that.
No?
No. You told me you didn't learn that in law school.
No, I didn't.
He went to Alabama. You're talking New York.
He missed that class.
See, the New Yorkers say, hey, listen, you get paid by the minute. Listen.
There you go.
But this
the more you think and listen.
But this is the first consultation. He's not getting paid.
Right.
So, you know, there's... See, most of his compadres, they want to get them in and out pretty quick because they're not going to get paid for this one. If they come back in and they're going to get paid by the minute and they agree to that, let me tell you what, some of those sessions can last a while.
Mm-hmm.
So then Greg came up and said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. And this I love. I mean, I have never seen an attorney do this, and I know some competitors of yours that I think are not worth two dead flies. That's my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That push trust real hard on people.
Yeah.
Real hard.
Yeah.
And probably at least half, maybe three quarters of the people don't need that document.
And why do they do that?
Why do you think they do that? They charge more. Kind of a coincidence, isn't it?
It's more work, you know, because usually you do a trust. You also, of course, you have to do wills to accompany the trust. And you're going to do all the health care and the advanced directive, the power of attorney. So
let me ask you a question, Greg.
You do a package with the trust.
When you do a will, don't you do that same package normally?
A lot of times, yeah. A lot of times I do.
But let me ask you another question. If you did that same package with a will and then you add a trust to it, do you not charge more money?
Yeah, sure.
Of course.
Sure.
Now, what happened is...
And a lot of times with the trust, there's going to be a deed involved.
Yep.
At least one.
Yep. That way you've got to record the deed, et cetera. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to go to is, and I'm putting Greg on a spot, and you, the listener, may not understand this, but normally Greg would talk about, okay, not only should you do a will, but you should do a power of attorney in case you're incapacitated and you can't make a decision. Somebody's got to pay the rent, pay the bills, whatever. Healthcare surrogate, who, if you can't make decisions for yourself to take care of your health, somebody should.
But I love those ads in the paper where it says $300 for a trust, or, you know, you've seen those ads.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's for the trust. And then when you pile on the wills and you pile on everything else, it's way over $300.
Yeah. Well, what happened is some of Greg's competitors that I know that I'm not going to use their name, they'll put together something that weighs 3 and 4 pounds or 5 pounds. And it's in a real pretty leather-bound book, and they stamp it with gold. And it's got 5 pages of meat and 87 pages of fluff. Greg doesn't do fluff. He doesn't do gold bond stuff. Now, if people want a gold bond stuff, I think you could do it for him.
Could do it, but I mean, you want to do what's necessary, obviously.
My point.
I didn't know that attorneys charged by the pound.
By the pound.
Yes.
By the word, you know, that adds up.
But I had a customer of mine that he came back to me after I did his mortgage. And he met with one of these folks that advertised in a paper, like Greg said. And it was a paralegal.
Okay.
Prepared a trust, gave it to him for a great price, but neglected to tell them to put the assets in the trust.
Hundreds of times, mm-hmm. And I mean literally hundreds, and it might be more than that, over the years, I will see a trust. And I said, okay, is your house in the trust? Why? Uh-huh. What about your bank? Why? Nothing was put in the trust, nothing. Because the people that were doing it, they never said you need to, quote, the word is fund. Mm-hmm. Now, that word we use, fund, we should never use. But that's the word that's technical for the trust. You transfer the asset into the trust. Why? Because it avoids probate. But Greg would come up and say, hey, listen, why do you think you need a trust? Well, you know, probate, and doesn't that save you from getting sued? Well, you know, people used to think you could do stuff in a trust and you protect all your assets from getting sued. Uh-huh.
No. I mean, the statute's really, they make doing the trust very much like doing the wills.
Yeah,
so so there's really no difference there as far as
the other side
liabilities.
The other side of the coin was when we do all of these documents, then it's a price. And I my favorite one, lady client of mine, Joe, I want you to look at my trust. I said, okay, fine. Come on in the office and we'll take a look. She calls me from the parking lot. She goes, Joe, I can't lift them. So I go down, and I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. That's a good 9 inches that I'm holding up, isn't it?
Yeah, look at absolutely.
Three big leather-bound, stamped with gold books. And so I go down, and I carry them in, and she says, would you do me a favor and look at these and tell me what they say? And I said, gee, that's good. I said, let me ask you a question. What did you tell the attorney you wanted? Well, here's what I wanted, and I wrote it down. So then over the weekend, I went through them, and I found the meat part, skipper fluff,
right.
And it isn't what happened. And she goes, well, that's not what I told him. She said, I'm going to go back and see him. And I said, uh-huh, this will be good. He can do you another book and charge
twice the fun.
Right.
Well, the key is, and I feel sorry for the consumer, because stuff that we take for granted every day and the words that we use, people don't use and don't know. So,
right. Like Mike said, I just saw a couple from New Jersey that had one of those big, beautiful binders and trusts. Nothing, absolutely nothing in there, not funded. They didn't even know they were supposed to fund
it. Of course not. They weren't told. Here, if you're a listener right now and you don't understand what we're talking about, don't feel special. But here's what happens. If we have a trust, let's say you own a house, and you own the house in your name, and now it's going to be transferred into the trust, but you own the trust. This is like the kitchen table. You own the kitchen table. The kitchen table has no mind. It can't make any decisions, but if you decide to move the table, you are in charge of that table. This is just like a trust. You're in charge of that trust. You're called the trustee. So you can move it, you can sell it, you can destroy it, you can change it, you can amend it, you can do anything you want. Why do we do a trust to start with? Avoids probate. Is there another reason?
That's the main reason.
Now, you can do an irrevocable trust, and there's some tax benefits, and there are some protections for that.
Yeah.
But 95% of the people do what's called a revocable.
That's pretty rare.
Right? Mm-hmm. Revocable, they call them living trust, which simply means while you're alive, you can change stuff. So Anyway, from that day forward, I didn't recommend any other attorney. I have always recommended Greg, taken people to Greg. If Greg couldn't handle a situation, first thing he said was, I can't handle that. Let me recommend somebody else that does. Or Mike and I have joked about this. How many times have we seen attorneys, you walk in the door, somebody walks in the door and said, I've got this problem. Attorney says, okay, give me a $2,000 retainer and I'll get started on it. And the attorney has to go look it up because they have never learned it either. So you're teaching.
Many years ago, I did a, we combined several mortgage companies and we did an IPO. And there's, you think it's hard to get a Supreme Court justice
nominated. IPOs are tough.
IPOs are really tough. So we had a couple of things to iron out. We got into
now for those of you that don't understand, an IPO means he's going to make issue stock. They're going to go public, initial public offering, meaning it's now going to be traded by a brokerage firm, and the stock is going to be sold to the public or to whoever's going to buy it.
So we had a few things to iron out. We had to go see an attorney. We hired a Palm Beach attorney. Got into the mahogany paneled elevator. Opened up to his lobby. And we knew we were in trouble. Hired him and gave him a retainer and found out that he's never done this before. So we had to pay to educate him.
Yeah.
And that's what really annoys me when attorneys or anybody takes on a case or a scenario and they don't know enough about it.
I have gone through, and you know, not that these guys are not good guys, but they just hadn't learned that particular specialty. You know, there's no such thing as any one person knowing everything about everything. And when it comes to taxes, when it comes to legal, mortgage business, I mean, everything in the world has its niches. If Mike Pallas was sitting over here and all he did was package multi-million-dollar rental properties and put together mortgages for them, as a specialty.
Right.
You know, that's an area. Residential is another specialty. There's all kinds of different specialties.
Anyway. Can I bring Vince into this discussion? Vince, let's say I make a revocable trust, and there's income that comes into the trust. Because I'm in complete control of the trust, when it comes to tax time, does that just go on my regular tax return, or is there a separate return for the trust?
There can be a separate return for the trust, depending on how they set it up to start with. But normally on a revocable trust, it flows right through to the grantor of the trust. And
now, grantor means the person that starts.
Yeah, like me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's the official word that people that is used. The grantor is the person that, if Joe Martek started a trust, I'm the grantor of the trust. You might say Joe Martek's trust, but I'm
as
the grantor.
As opposed to trustees, as opposed to the beneficiaries.
Now, here comes, stay with that thought. This one I like. So Joe Martek does a trust, and they're going to use my Social Security number for my trust. But I die. And there's beneficiaries in the trust, and there's successor trustees. What happens to my Social Security number?
Well, once you die, you know, a new entity is formed. You know, there is the estate of. And the trust assets go depends on how it's written and who the beneficiaries are. It'll be dictated right in the trust document as to who's going to inherit or who's going to take on the trust.
But the trust then gets a new tax ID.
Well, they have to get a tax ID.
Same digits as a Social Security number, but they space them different just to make it look special. And I can't tell you how many times this has happened to me, and I know it's happened to you and to Greg and to Vince, where I get somebody that dies, and they said, Mom had a trust. What do we do? And I said, well, you have to get a new tax ID number. Uh-huh. How do I do that? Okay. Well, the key thing is, and you know, even those government websites, you actually can do it. But I got to tell you, the government doesn't make it simple. They don't use easy language either.
I usually help the clients out with that when it comes to setting that up. You can do it, like you said. But if you're not computer savvy, if you don't have the patience, if you don't understand all the terms, you might get stuck.
Well,
in which case, I get the phone call, the frantic phone call. What does this mean? I'm at this website.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
at this point. I don't know what to put there.
Vince, you just said the magic two words, phone call.
Yes.
888-221-8990 if you'd like to participate in the show today.
Toll free, 888. You should write that number down next to the phone class, 888-221-8990. In fact, I had a phone call from Oklahoma, Arkansas. Client of mine died, left a trust, son's out in Oklahoma or Arkansas. Went to an attorney, got a new tax ID number for the estate. And I said, well, it's probably the same number for the trust. He says, how can I tell? I said, you call the attorney. I mean, because he had no clue what he was doing, and the attorney had not explained that part to him. Now, he didn't call me back, so I'm assuming that that was a pretty easy one. That same tax ID number should be the one for the trust for the estate.
Right.
Anyway, I had another one of your competitors down the street from my client of mine died.
Right.
And daughter calls up and says, what do I do? First, you come in and give us money. So the daughter goes in and gives him money. Then she said, okay, you need to transfer everything you've got into the trust. I know.
So nothing was funded. Nothing was transferred ahead of time.
So no, there were things that were in the trust, but there were other things that were not in the trust. Mm-hmm. As an example, there were annuity contracts that don't need to go in the trust. Well, he wanted them transferred into the trust, right?
Okay.
And I'm thinking, uh-huh, why is he doing this? Greg, give me a reason why he would do that.
Uh-huh. Annuity?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's a revise. Move the money in, revise the trust document. Could be a lot of reasons why.
Why? Give me one.
Money?
Oh, what a good reason. A fee. What I'm trying to say is some things are not subject to probate.
Right.
Life insurance contracts are not. Annuity contracts are not. What if you take a bank account, Greg, and all we add is TOD, transfer on death to the bank account? That's not subject to probate. Whoever's right. written down as beneficiaries gets the money. You can do that on a brokerage account.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of reasons why people don't need a trust. But
yeah, I mean, that's what we were talking about from the beginning.
Yep.
You know, I don't push trusts on people. If they don't need them, I'll tell them they don't need them. Sometimes it's kind of a close call whether they need them or not, depending on the type of assets. But in that case, I'll just give them the advantages of both, the cost for both, and see where they end up. That's up to them. But you should at least have a will.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just had a case come in, well, a couple of days ago, where this lady married the second marriage to this guy about 13 years ago, you know, so they've been married quite a while, but the home was in his name only. He never added her to the deed, never did a will. Why? Because who knows why, he had a heart attack, he died. But guess what? He's got children from a previous marriage.
Yeah.
So they're estranged. He hasn't talked to these children in years, 15, 17 years, something like that. Estranged. didn't even like them. But guess who's the beneficiaries?
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, under Florida law, I call it dower rights. That's not the right word anymore. That married spouse, is she not entitled to something?
Yeah.
Which is like
50%.
50%.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids would get the other half. Right?
Correct. Yeah.
See, I've had a couple of circumstances where the same exact scenario, only this one particular one was down in Palm Beach County, and they had multiple pieces of property and all in his name. And he didn't do it out of any malfeasance or anything. It's just the way it was. As he's doing a business, and then he dies, and she had to go and literally sell all those things for the benefit of those kids, because the kids said, hey, we're not doing anything. If you want money, you go do it. And she did. And they got half the money, and she got half. Right.
Absolutely right. And that's, you know, Aretha Franklin died without a will.
Yeah.
Which, you
can't imagine this, right?
It's hard to believe.
But you know.
Because she knew she had cancer. She knew she was dying.
It was instantaneous, you know.
But you know what? I hate to say this, but I would bet anything, nobody in that whole entire group of her associates, friends, relatives, anything, said anything to her about, Aretha, you got a will?
I would think her children would, right? She's got two sons.
Well, wait a minute. Careful now. So you're thinking like a semi-intelligent person.
Semi.
I know. What I'm trying to say is a lot of times people just don't think of these things. They just don't. It doesn't cross their
mind. That's surprising because these days I think that money would be on the minds of all of these.
You'd think, but I will guarantee you how many times do I see mistakes and you see mistakes, and these are not stupid people. They are educated. Joe Robbie, owner of the Miami Dolphins, died without a will, intestate.
Yeah,
he was an attorney.
He was a lawyer.
Well, listen, there's another one, James Gandolfini, the guy from the Sopranos, also died without a will.
See, it goes on and on and on. There's people that procrastinate or...
They don't want to think about it. They don't want to face the...
People think, hey, if I think about it, I'm going to die tomorrow. You know?
But if you're going to live forever. And it is a sensitive subject, too. Especially if you have someone who's diagnosed with a terminal disease.
Us old people, it's not that big a deal.
I know you have to discuss it, but it's a very sensitive subject.
It is. Absolutely.
Anyway, what I'm trying to say, folks, this is a pretty simple thing. We're here to counsel. Any questions you have, you call up 888-221-8990. Will, trust, should you have one, shouldn't you have one? Hey, Greg Fasula sitting right here, attorney. We also have Alan Love, another retired prosecuting attorney. Who doesn't care about being an attorney? He cares about baseball.
I care about asking Greg a question. Greg, is there a time limit as far as changing a will? Let's say somebody is going to go to the Lord in the next couple of days, calls you in and says, I want to change the will. Questions of competency there.
That's where the questions come in. I mean, there's no time limit. They can do it when as long as they're living and breathing. but the competency, yeah. I mean, are they sick? Are they on heavy medication or, you know, dementia or whatever? That's where that comes in. And are they under some type of duress by, you know, other individuals?
And who makes that call? Who makes the competency call?
I don't. I mean, I can see sometimes where it's pretty obvious, but sometimes it's not obvious. And at that point, if I think that they seem competent enough to do it, we'll do it. And you know, if there's some type of contest later on, and there's, you know, medical documentation saying that they weren't, well, then that'll come out later on. But I can't review their medical, you know, records just to do a will. If they can answer, you know, basic questions, they know what they want to do and who their beneficiaries are and why they want to do it, then that's good with me.
And if they don't have coaching, too, there's another thing that we all have seen. Another relative will be there and will coach.
Yeah,
this person, and that becomes a problem. Yeah,
so I don't let other people into the room, and for that reason.
We had one that Greg and I did. This is my favorite one. Lady, widow, no children, nephews, and she was going to leave a little over $1 million. She was going to die in about 2 weeks. She was in a hospital, and she's going to go about 2 more weeks. Now she was okay mentally, but 2 weeks before she died, she says, I want to change everything. This is exciting. I said, boy, that's good. You're going to, what are you going to do? She said, okay, this one's not going to get this, that. I mean, a whole bunch of changes. I said, this ought to be easy. So we went into the hospital with a videographer twice, and we videotaped it, and Greg asked the questions. Nobody was allowed to say a word to her. This was on a video thing two times, two different occasions, a few days apart, saying this is exactly what she wanted and that she admitted she wasn't being coached, that there was no outside influence, this was her own decisions. Well, then she died. Then I get a phone call from Maine. Joe, my aunt died. And I said, yes, she did. And he says, I understand that I'm part of the trust. And I said, you are. And I said, don't even say another word. I'm going to send you up videotapes that your mom did, and you'll be getting money soon. Well, I sent them up. Let me tell you, these things were very definitive. There was no way he's going to counteract those things. He was expecting a big chunk, and he did not get a big chunk, but he got a chunk.
So, right, and I don't know what would have happened if we wouldn't have done the video.
Let me just tell you something. I guarantee you there have been people coming out of the woodwork would have been upset. Duress. mm-hmm. coercion, mm-hmm. you know, pick up on mm-hmm. any of the words that we want to use. So
yeah, and if they're gonna, you know, they're dying, they're gonna be passing away within days. It's yeah. that's a red flag.
Big red alone. Flag. But the point is, what she had been on dialysis for a year, and she just was tired of dialysis, and she said she's 82 years old. She said, I'm done doing this dialysis, and without dialysis, she's gonna die. So she said, okay, fine, I'll take death rather than going through this constant dialysis. And we've all seen people with dialysis, and it's difficult. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990, which leads me to Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, who was the next member of the team when we started. And that word independent became really monstrous, because you have to go back to when Hurricane Andrew hit Florida. It was the most devastating hurricane in the history of Florida, in modern history anyway, and it put 10, 11, 12, 13 insurance companies out of business, because it just ripped right through South Dade County and just destroyed everything. Well, if then at that point, right after that happened, many of the, quote, captive insurance companies and some independents said, okay, fine, we're getting rid of a ton of business. We don't want it anymore. So they non-renewed people, or sometimes they doubled, tripled, quadrupled their premiums. Well, if you work for just one insurance company, that can be a problem. But if you're an independent, you work for the client, and under Dan's umbrella is roughly 100 companies, not all home and cars and businesses, but if one falls out of favor, Dan's got 8 or 10 that might be able to pick you up. And Mike, you and I specifically have insurance with Dan, and I've been moved a few times over the years with different companies.
Yeah, what's good about Dan is he'll take the initiative to shop around your insurance when it becomes due. In fact, you know, you and I know that your insurance is part of your payment, yeah. your mortgage payment, and a lot of times that will dictate whether you qualify for that loan or not.
Right.
So, today I had met with a customer, and he was very close on qualifying. I sent him up to Dan, and Dan was able, because he had so many different options to choose from and different carriers to place him with, he was able to get him a very affordable insurance policy, and now that customer qualifies for that mortgage.
There you go. You know, that's what they want. And we've all seen at the last minute that you lose qualification because the premium was too high. They yeah. didn't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
So Dan, in my not too humble opinion, is the premier independent agent on the Treasure Coast, 38 years in business. I mean, he's just the man knows his stuff. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, sitting here. And Mike, I can't toot your horn too hard, because I've seen what you've done for people, and we've had testimonials where people call in and say, thank you, Lord, for Mike. What he did, he got my son financed. Nobody else could do it. On and on and on. We've heard nothing but good news. And Mike, you've gone out of your way. Now, I know it's your business, but sometimes you do things that have nothing to do with making a buck, just because people need the help.
Well, you know, when you're out there looking for mortgages and looking for mortgage business, a lot of people go for that high-end mortgages because obviously you get paid more on those. But
yep.
I really appreciate working with the first-time home buyers. I think it's very
important. Hey, speaking of which, we got a caller. Let's take this real quick. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Hello, hello.
Yes.
You go right ahead. You're on the radio.
Yeah. Okay. My wife and I have a bank account and everything, the house, whatever we own, is in a joint name. Does that mean if I die, she receives everything?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So the question there is, what happens if you die together?
Now here we got our daughter's list today.
Well, here comes something you want to consider. Now, when I just said yes quickly, let's take your house. Now, this is an important thing. You have a deed. On that deed, it should say someplace, husband and wife, HW. If it doesn't say that, that needs to be added. Now, here's why. This is important. Let's say you and I buy a house together. Now, obviously, you're not my type, so we're not husband and wife, right? You with me there?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we're partners now, right?
He was thinking about it.
Then. I know. We're partners. Now, if you die, your half of the house goes to your estate. Understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And if I die, my half would go to my estate. But if we were married and we put HW, husband and wife, I die, it's hers, she dies, it's mine. Got it?
Yeah, there has to be some type of marital relationship there on the deed. So you want to check that. So I don't see that
mistake too often.
Yeah, but from back years ago, I actually saw it quite a few times.
So what you want to do is just check your deed. You should have it in a file box. If you don't, you go to the county building. They'll bring it up, or you can call them. They might even be able to email it or fax. Anyway, you just need to make sure that it has husband and wife written on the deed. So that way, if you die, it's hers. She dies, it's yours. Then, do you have a will?
Yes, I think we did.
Okay, double check your will and make sure if you both get run over by a truck on the same day, you've got somebody in line, meaning your children or whoever you want, that would inherit that will. And it's the same thing with your bank account. You can go to the bank and say, hey, do we have on our bank account transfer on death, TOD? Now, if the bank says no, they'll do it for you, cost you nothing, let them do it. And what you do is you put you and your wife first, and then if, let's say, you have three children, if you both get run over by a truck, those three children would inherit that amount of money, and it doesn't have to go through the courts, doesn't have to go through probate or anything.
How'd you know I had three children?
I heard the trepidation in your voice. There's some nervousness there. Those two kids are tough. Three makes it more difficult.
Okay.
Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that it's these are little tiny things that take almost no time and effort, and they don't cost a nickel. But it's
TOD.
TOD, yeah. Transfer on death. So you go to the bank and say, do we have that in place? So in case my wife and I both get run over by a truck the same day, that the kids don't have to go through the court system. Now, also, if you have insurance contracts, there's named beneficiaries. If you have annuity contracts, there's named beneficiaries. None of these things need to go through the court system. What would go through the court system is real estate properties that you don't live in, that is not homestead. If you owned investment properties, rental properties, then all of a sudden a trust starts to make sense rather than just a will.
Okay.
But, the bottom line is, should one of you pass away, if everything is jointly owned, it would go directly to the other spouse. It's when that second spouse passes away. That's where your will is going to come into play.
Uh-huh. Well, joint ownership is good, then.
Oh, absolutely. Well, especially if you like your wife.
Right. I've liked her and loved her for 53 years, so I guess that's good enough.
You know, I was just talking to Pastor Jonathan. You and he both are just lucky men. This is a wonderful thing. Bless you, my man. That's a good thing.
All right.
And by the way, I'll let her know that you said that.
Okay.
You have a wonderful...
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, you too.
Thank you, bye. 1-888-221-8990. Now, most of the time, Greg and Mike, I have seen banks do the TOD agreements when people open an account, haven't you? Most of the time. But not all the time.
Not always, no.
So it's just smart to just change. And now, by the way, it isn't just banks and houses. It's also brokerage accounts. Like, say you have a brokerage account with any broker. I'm a broker, same thing. Mine is called Centaurus Financial. Some could be Dean Witter, could be Merrill Lynch, I don't care. They oftentimes have what's called TOD written on your statement. Now, almost always, most good brokers are going to make sure you've got those documents in place. Treat TOD. If you have an IRA, a 401k, or retirement plan, almost always they demand that you fill out the beneficiaries, because now, again, not subject to going through the courts or probate. Most of these things we take for granted doing right here, but we have seen mistakes made, and too many times, that there was not a penny's worth of aggravation to done it right.
You know, Joe, we talked about transferring assets into a trust,
right?
And we talked about transferring real estate into a trust,
right?
But one thing we should talk about is, if that real estate has a mortgage on it, you do have to get the authorization from the mortgage company to do that.
Also, you have to deal with an attorney that knows how to word it properly.
Absolutely.
Greg, have we seen this problem?
Mm-hmm. I sure have. Yeah.
So the concept is, almost, I wouldn't say always, but most times, the real estate that is transferred into the trust has a mortgage on it. So as long as the trust is worded properly and the lender is apprised and willing.
Yeah, they're going to want to see a copy of the trust to make sure it has the proper verbiage, and I'm sure
and
most of them do.
I've never
seen deeds with the name of a trust no date, you know, you don't know which trust it is, whose trust it is, no powers for the trustee to transfer that property out. So what do you end up with? You end up with court anyway.
Well, here it comes. Things were done wrong. People make mistakes, and it's a sad thing, especially if they went to an attorney and he did it wrong, which is another story we've heard. Let's take another caller. Caller's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yeah, Joe, I've been listening to you on the radio, and something came up I heard when the other caller just left.
Okay.
Something you talk about, TOD.
Right.
I never heard about that.
Well, write it down. Transfer on death. TOD. Transfer on death. Now, here's what happened. You got a bank account, a checking account, and let's say you're on it by yourself, and you die. Who gets that money? Well, if you don't have that TOD at the bank, it's now subject to your estate, which means it could be subject to probate, or it might be just subject to a will. But if there's TOD, all you have to do, whoever's written down is the person that's your beneficiary, they walk into the bank with a death certificate, and they get the money. Just that simple.
Well, it happens to be so that a couple of months ago, I was checking my account down, and everything is in my name. And I remember a young man about 4 years ago, I went into the bank to get a loan, and he was talking something about P-O-D.
But T-O-I?
So I went into the P-O-D.
And it said,
pass on death. What happens is, the most times I see transfer on death, but it can say POD, pass on death. It's all the same wording.
ITF, in trust for.
I was kind of confused because when you say trust, I just thought about that. I just had all of my kids a couple of months ago added to my account because I did not have nobody as my beneficiary on my account.
Yeah, you don't want to add them.
Let me ask you a question.
You don't want to add them to your account.
Did you literally add your kids onto your accounts where they can sign their name and get your money?
No.
Good. You put them on as beneficiaries in case you die.
Beneficiary if I die. Good.
I have seen, and all of us have seen, where people add their names, the kids' names, to their account. And let's say that child's sitting up in Maine and gets sued. All your money's gone if they're on the account. As a beneficiary, you have to die first.
What I was thinking about, let's say that I die first and my wife, I was thinking that I was just like, when I saw the TOD, I was just thinking about they would just transfer everything over the hall instead of something else.
You mean your wife's not on the account?
You don't have your wife on your accounts?
No.
Okay, well, you can put TOD.
Yeah, but if you don't have your wife on the account, it won't go to your wife.
Well, if it does now, if it puts TOD.
Yeah, if you put the wife. Okay.
But you don't want your wife on your accounts, is that what you're saying?
Well, I just made it up that way.
Wait a minute.
I just leave it that way.
Is she listening to you right now?
No, guys. I'm in my office. And don't tell me, okay?
We got all men here. We're trying to protect you. But just in case
tell me. Thanks a lot.
Anyway.
Well, I was just thinking about it because I never heard the term TOD. I heard POD, but not TOD.
Understand this. Go to your bank, whatever way they want to phrase it. Like Greg was saying, it can say in trust for, it can say pass on death, transfer on death. But the key is this. Most banks today that I've seen use TOD.
Yeah, because I just did mine last month, and they put POD.
Okay.
I checked the papers again just to make sure.
All right. Have your wife give me a call. I'll help you.
Okay, young man.
You're good.
Yeah, I'm blessed with
you. Have you too.
So excuse me. So the TOD is going to happen. I mean, it's going to work in a lot of situations, but sometimes it doesn't work in situations where one of those beneficiaries might pass away.
Right.
You have no contingency as far as where that share might go. And secondly,
that can go to that person's estate, right?
Possibly if he had an estate. But what if the account holder wanted everything to go to the survivor of the two of them? I'm not sure if that can be set up with the bank that way.
Well, the bank should be able to add that in. You know, normally, like on an annuity contract, we have contingent beneficiaries. In case a person dies, there's a contingent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't see why a bank can't do that.
On deeds, we have with rights of survivorship.
Right.
So wouldn't it be similar to that?
Right.
Not necessarily.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. And also, you know, through a will or through a trust, you can put in other contingencies as far as, especially if you have younger children, children under 25 or 30. You can put in, you know, age limitations where TOD, all you got to do is walk in with the death certificate. Right. That's it. It's done.
The key things that happen. Understand this, almost everything can be handled if it's properly documented. And one of the things, oftentimes, it's called, I've got a husband, let's say I've got an individual that has an annuity contract, and he has the named beneficiary, let's say his three kids. I say, fine, do those three children, are they married?
Yep.
Do they have children?
Yep.
What do you want to have happen to their share if they die? Does it go to the other two children or go to their children? Well, then you can add per stirpes, P-E-R-S-T-I-R-P-E-S. It's a legal term that simply means it stays in the bloodline. It goes to the next children down the line. There's ways to do things. Now, let me just tell you, is it always done? No. Should it be done more often? Of course. The key thing you want to do is when you do any of these things, and it's hard to think them all through, but even if you don't, you can always go back to the bank or whoever it might be, and you can modify these documents. Usually it costs nothing to do it.
So with the strict survivorship rights, you know, like you were saying, Mike, with that scenario, should one of them pass, basically you're cutting out, you know, that person's family.
Heirs,
so, you know, I'm not sure if that would be intentional or not.
Well, I've got a situation right now, literally, that I'm helping one of our listeners. Mom died, there's three sons, two sons and a girlfriend. Well, guess what? It's not easy, because the son that's surviving and the girlfriend look like they're going to split it whether he likes it or not. But that's how it's drafted. And then the other brother died. If that brother has an estate or has, you know, people that can get the money, now that his share would go to the estate. It's nothing is simple unless it's properly documented. One, and boy, I'll tell you what, is this where attorneys come in handy on occasion, Greg?
Mm-hmm.
Properly documented.
And properly documented, plus you have to know what their intention is to know how to do it like they want to have it done.
Well, here comes the $64,000 question, and I do this with a lot of people. People don't know the questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did this with a client yesterday or the day before, I forget which. It was an existing client of mine, but she had bought two different, quote, index annuities. And for some reason, the market was up 20% last year, but she made 2.5. And she goes, how can that be, Joe? And I said, well, because look right here. It's got the word CAP, C-A-P. It showed that the index made 19%, but she got 2.5. Well, was she happy? And I said, you know, and 90% of the time I see my, quote, competitors or compadres, whatever you want to call them out there, for some reason, these words never get discussed. And this poor consumer, a year or three or five later, which is way too long to go back and try to get it rescinded, now you have to go to court, and oh, it's a mess and a half, and it's a sad thing.
It is. You have to discuss. You have to find out, you know, what exactly they want to do, and what will happen. You know, what would they want if this happens? What would happen?
Yeah.
What do they want if that happens? I had a lady come in yesterday. It was, and she wanted. She's getting married this weekend, actually, and she wanted to do a will before the marriage. And so I had to ask her, why do you want to do a will before that marriage? What, you know, why is it so important? Well, she thought if she did a will where she had a home, she wanted to protect that home. If she did a will willing that home to her children prior to the marriage, that would protect the home. So I had to tell her, it just doesn't work that way. It does it with our homestead, our Florida homestead laws, it's not going to work that way.
Yep.
So I ended up having to do a prenuptial for her.
Well, and that works, but you could have also done a trust, could you not, on that?
Well, trust doesn't, unless the you know, the husband was to sign off on his homestead rights. I mean, you could do a trust.
Yeah,
you
still, he'd have to sign off on, he couldn't homestead his, right?
He would have to sign, he would have to waive his homestead rights.
Anyway, there's all kinds of wrinkles that come in that, that the average person doesn't know about. That, you know, you're taking, Ashley, this one's almost a new one to me, because if I own a house, right? Mm-hmm. Joe Martek, I own a house, and it's my homestead, right? Mm-hmm. And I get married, and I don't put my wife on that deed. It's still my homestead.
Yeah, but you pass away before her, she's going to have homestead rights, so.
Will she have dower rights to that?
She would, depending on whether you had a will or not.
What if I didn't have a will?
Well, because you have children from a prior marriage, right. she would have an option to live there for life or get half of it.
See, this is not good. No wonder we don't get married. What? 888-221-8990. Well, you know, like the attorney said, Joe, how many times do you think you can divide half? 1-888-221-8990. In fact, I was talking to Pastor Jonathan today when I first came in about when I got baptized in Calvary Baptist Church in Clearwater, Florida. Because I have had a couple people listen to this show regularly and say, Joe, are you sure you're a Christian? And I, because I joke about a lot of things on here. And I said, hey, I know I am. And I had one of my clients, I said, you know, I sure hope Jesus has a sense of humor. He says, Joe, he has to put up with you. 1-888-221-8990. Now, we're winding down. We still have room for a couple more phone calls. Anybody's got questions? Remember here, we got Mike Paulus, mortgage broker here in the mortgage business. Interest rates are still superb.
Yeah, and actually, we just got a couple new good programs for down payment assistance. Where we have a grant available for 5%, and then we could do a first mortgage for the remaining 95%. So
what you're saying, they can get no money down because the grant will give them the 5?
Yeah, and we've always had that program that we've often discussed, the USDA program, and that's still available in certain areas. It's 100% financing.
But the grant,
this program is not limited in where you can
lend. Is it by county or the one you're talking about?
No, there are some income caps, and that will vary by county, but for the most part, most people with an average income will qualify for
it. Now, that money is available until it's gone, right?
That program has not dried up. It's not subject to government funding, so far we haven't had a situation where that money's run out.
Nice. Now, to qualify, they can't make too much or too little. They got to fit into a slot?
Correct. Yes. It's meant for, actually, this program is meant for first-time home buyers, but it's not limited to first-time home buyers.
Yep.
So if you've owned a home before, you can qualify for this. And the way it works is they'll lend up to, actually, it's a second mortgage that they place on the house, and you have to live in the property for a certain period of time. In this situation, it's 36 months. So
not
every
bad.
Month you live in there, they forgive a little bit of it.
Nice. And you know, it was, I don't know if you've watched the news today, but they wrote a 14,000-word nail Trump about tax fraud, et cetera, et cetera. Did you hear that one?
I heard it yesterday.
Yesterday.
Actually, his father, I think, they're trying to say that he manipulated and took advantage of tax laws and
I know,
saved thousands and millions of dollars
I know,
to the father.
I know. And we're all going to, hey, listen.
What was done was perfectly legal and legitimate.
I doubt very much as smart as these people are, they did something illegal. Now, there's tax avoidance, which is legal. Let me take this phone call. Hey, callers, Joe Martek, you're on the radio.
Yes, hi. I'm calling regarding the beneficiary and the POD.
Go ahead.
I just recently put my husband down as my beneficiary.
On what?
On my bank account.
Okay, good.
But my question is, we're empty nesters, and we travel a lot, and my kids do not live in the same state that I do.
Okay.
Should I get a POD done with my kid's name?
I would. I put your husband first. The bank account's just in your name, right? Not your husband's.
It's Right. It's just in my name, but I only put him as a beneficiary. But I never really thought about the, us traveling a lot.
Yeah.
Something happening to both of us.
Yeah. Then it would go to your estate, and it'd be subject to your will or probate, whichever. So I would definitely go back to the bank and say, hey, I want contingent beneficiaries, husbands first, and the contingent one are these two or three or four children, and it depends how many you have, and by percentage. You can put it down to share equally or by percentage.
Okay, so basically beneficiary and TOD is the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah, but you have to ask if they're able to do contingent beneficiaries for the children, right?
And we're saying, in other words, if something happened to you, it automatically go to your husband. But if you had all four children plus your husband, he'd only get 20% if you did it that way. But if you put it all goes to him on your death, it all goes to the children on both of your death. But the bank has to phrase that properly.
Yeah, you don't want to just add your kids, right?
Make it contingent is the word. Upon the death of both of you, then it would go to the children.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for that information.
You're more than welcome. Yeah, it's the wording, it's phraseology that we take for granted, but it's not. You know, mm-hmm. You got to be careful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the bankers, not everybody in the bank understands it either.
No, that's for sure.
You know,
the listeners really ought to concentrate on older beneficiaries, Joe, including the IRAs. I had a client last year. That passed away, the IRA was sitting in the bank, no beneficiary.
Oh, left. What a sin.
None.
That's terrible.
And you're talking about over $100,000 in this account.
All I know is that whoever wrote that IRA should be shot, because that's a responsibility a guy like me has to make sure I ask who the beneficiaries are, and by percentage. I mean, how many times have I had where they've got four kids and they'll say, well, I want the bulk of it to go to the three because the fourth one already got their inheritance. I said, well, how much do you want to go to the, let's say it's $100,000. Well, give the youngest one $5,000 and split the other. Okay, 5%. We'll do by percentage, because you don't know exactly how the dollar amounts are, so we try to do by percentage. But then in the word contingent is also important.
I tell the clients every year to review all of their investment accounts, their IRAs, mm-hmm. their Roths, and so on. Make sure the beneficiaries are there and they're current.
And we've had it happen. Even people called in on a thing. Somebody dies with a life insurance contract, mm-hmm. and they got it 30 years ago and then got divorced, and new wife didn't get anything. Ex-wife that been divorced for 20 and 30 years gets the money, because that's who's written down.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe, we're in the last minute. I just want to make a quick comment. Another thing to consider is the language that professionals use. If you don't understand some word or something they're saying, ask that question.
Amen. And I'm telling a lot of words we take for granted because we use them every day, and I try to use no industry words. I try. But it's pretty hard sometimes. They just kind of sneak out, especially when you've got an attorney sitting next to you.
Craig, if someone had an appointment to set up with you for to prepare a will for them, mm-hmm. do you have like a checklist that you can give them to prepare for that meeting?
Normally, I don't. I mean, that's why I have a free consultation, because I can fill them out. I have enough time to be able to fill them out the first time, and then go from there.
Say goodbye, Greg. It's time to leave.
Greg, say goodbye.
Have a great week, everybody.
Goodbye, Greg.
Yes. Goodbye, God bless you all. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Joe. Should we say goodbye? Hey, really say goodbye now. See you until next week. No.
You've been listening to the Team Martech Program. The Team Martech Program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.